ॐ सहना भवतु, सहनौ भुनक्तु, सह वीर्यं करवावहै, तेजस्विनापधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। मे ब्रह्मन् प्रोटेक्ट् अस्, मे हि गाइड् अस्, may he give us strength and right understanding. May love and atmani be with us all. Peace, peace, peace be unto all. वेदांत सार आप सदानंद जोगिंद्र। इन आवर लास्ट क्लास वी टॉक्ड अबाउट द कॉन्सेप्ट, डिफरेंट कॉन्सेप्ट अबाउट द आत्मन फ्रॉम द मटीरियलिस्ट्स अप टू वेदांतिन। ईच स्कूल हैज its own concept about the Atman. Vedantic concept of the Atman that it is eternal by nature, pure, intelligent, free and real, and which is the illuminer of those unreal entities is the self. This is the experience of the Vedantins. Tonight we shall start de-superimposition. As I told you many times, the teachers of Vedanta use two methods to explain this Atman. The first method is superimposition, the second method is de-superimposition. In the first method, the teacher wants to tell us how the pure consciousness has been covered by the five sheaths and ignorance. Of course, five sheaths are the product of ignorance. And now he will tell us how those sheaths, how those superimposition can be removed from the Atman and manifest your real nature. Apabhadu nama rajju vivartaisya sarpaisya rajju matra tvavat vastu vivartaisya avastu na ajnanadei prapanchaisya vastu matra tvam. As the snake firstly perceived in a rope is ultimately found out to be nothing but the rope, similarly, the world of unreal things, beginning with ignorance, superimposed upon the reality, is realized at the end to be nothing but Brahman. This is known as de-superimposition, apavada. Vivarta, as I told you, there are two important schools. One school believe that God, Brahman, God or Brahman has been manifested in the universe. Vedanta says this manifestation is apparent, not real. To a dualist, this world is very real. our family members, husband, wife, children, money, car, job, these things are very real. But we explained many times that these things are not absolutely real. They have apparent reality. You know, these things, it takes hundreds of lives to understand these things. How this world, which is so real to us, is nothing but dream, illusion. It is very difficult, extremely difficult. Only one way you can understand it, through renunciation. They call it Bhushikaru Sangha Vairagya. A yogi develops that kind of renunciation through practice. He sees the impermanency of everything. There is nothing permanent. Nothing. Everything is transient. He sees it. So he never gets attached to any of these things. His mind dwells in the Atman. And he sees the reality. Vibhorta means an apparent modification or illusion which is caused by ignorance. As a snake is the vibhorta of a rope, so is the world the vibhorta of Brahman, and the illusion is removed by knowledge. In darkness we see snake on a rope, but when we bring the light, we see the rope as a rope. Similarly, we see this world in the state of Brahman, which is the substratum. The moment knowledge dawns in our heart, we see Brahman, this world disappears. As the snake disappears the moment light comes. Because snake is not there, it is illusion. It is a mistake, false perception. It disappears instantly the moment we bring the light. Similarly, this world disappears the moment that unity of knowledge of Brahman dawns in human heart. When the rope, through illusion, appears as a snake, it does not actually change into the snake. Apavada destroys this illusion and brings out the truth. Similarly, Brahman, through illusion, appears as the phenomenal world. The breaking up of this illusion, which consists only of name and form, and the consequent discovery of Brahman, which is the underlying reality, is called apavada. Swami Vivekananda had an experience when he was traveling through the western part of India. It was a desert, and he was passing through the desert, and he saw water at a distance. So he walked quite a distance, and then he was thinking, perhaps that is a mirage. All through my life I read about it, now I am following that water in a mirage. He again returned to his own way, and he said, even I got, you know, deluded. Very difficult, this part. Taduktam sa tattato anyatha ap अन्यथा प्रथा प्रथा विकारो इति उदीरित अत ततो अन्यत प्रथा विवर्तो इति उदीरित. Sadananda Jogindra quoted from a scripture. Thus it has been said, vibha vikara is the actual modification of a thing altering into another substance, while vivarta is only an apparent modification. Example, milk becomes yogurt. It is a real transformation. But the rope never becomes snake. Just illusion. This is the difference. The dualists believe that this world is real manifestation. This world is real. Really, they believe it. talked many times, you remember, the moment we go to deep sleep, the world disappears. Where does it go? It came from ignorance, it goes back to ignorance. Cosmic ignorance. The moment, it is the mind, through the medium of the mind, this world plays with us. Mind is a very, very tricky instrument. You can create friend, you can create enemy, you can create this whole world, you can dissolve this world, you can do anything through the mind. There is a system, Sri Ramakrishna talked in the Gospel of Ramakrishna, Anulom Vilom. Anulom means iti, iti, iti. Vilom means neti, neti, neti. Anulom means from the absolute to the relative. And below means from relative to the absolute. So human mind goes these two directions. When you sit for meditation, do you know what you do? You concentrate on God and you dissolve this world. That is called meditation. So that no thought about you. How you keep the world alive, how? Through thinking. If you do not think, the world is not there. Manusi amani bhavi dvaito na upalabhyati. We remember we read in the Mandukya Upanishad. Manodrishyam idam sarvam. Is whatever you see in this world, this universe, it is manodrishyam, which are the only the projections of the mind. When the mind becomes mindless, duality cannot be perceived. You know, you don't need too many books, too many teachings. This one verse can help you all, perhaps many, many years in your life, just to experience that one verse. The moment mind dissolves, the duality dissolves, the world dissolves. How to dissolve the mind? That we do. We concentrate during meditation, we concentrate on our Ishta, our chosen deity, and we dissolve the world. That now Sadananda is going to teach us two mantras. Tattvamasi Aham Brahmasmi. For the reason he is making all this introduction, that I am giving you these two mantras. One for yourself to practice on your own life, and another for practicing on others. One for you, another for others. Both mantra you will have to practice. When you close your eyes, you say, I am Brahman. And you open your eyes, you say, you are Brahman. Everybody is Brahman. So these two mantras he will give to us. Aham Brahmasmi Tattvamasi. For the reason he is trying to make our minds ready, that I am going to get ready, I am going to give you two mantras. First, I want to dissolve this world from your mind. All these previous chapters we discussed, he created this world in our mind just to make you understand that where you are. Now he wants to take the world from our mind again. And then he will tell you, this is your real nature. That is in his mind. Sarupa Bodhak, Upadesha Bodhak, Anubhava Bodhak, and Aparoksha Bodhak. There are four great mantras in the four Vedas. In the Rig Veda, the mantra is Prajnanam Brahma. Consciousness is Brahman. This mantra is Swarupa Bodhak. What is my real nature? Swarup. My real nature is Prajna, consciousness. Then in Yajurveda, Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman. That mantra is for your personal realization. You must learn how you must realize it in your life. I am Brahman. The third mantra, Tattamasi, from Samaveda. You are Brahman. That is for teaching others that when you experience, you will see Brahman in others. Upadesha Mulab, to teach people, to advise people. The fourth is Aparoksha Bodhak, Ayam Atma Brahma. This Atman is Brahman. There is no difference. One. This my individual consciousness and the cosmic consciousness are one. This room space and the vast cosmic space are one. Tatahi bhoga ayatanam etat bhoga ayatanam chaturvido shakala sthura sharira jatam vaigya rupanna panadikam etat ayatana bhuta bhuradi chaturdasha bhuvanani etat ayatana bhutam brahmanyam cha etat sarvam etisham karana rupam panchikitam bhutamatram bhavati. Shadananda Jogindra says, do you remember I told you all about creation? There are four kinds of physical bodies which are the seats of enjoyment. The different kinds of food and drink, which are the objects of enjoyment. The 14 planes, such as Bhur, etc., which contain them, and the universe, Brahmanda, which contains these planes. All these are reduced to their cause, the five gross elements. Beautiful. When we are talking about this Panchikaranam, how these five elements created this universe, we talked about four kinds of bodies. Jarayuja, human bodies. Beast bodies come from the womb of the mother. Andaja, some bodies come from eggs, birds. Udbhija, some bodies come from the trees, seeds, trees, plants. And Shedaja, some beings come from the moisture, some like bed bugs and mosquitoes, you know. These four kinds of bodies came from the combination of these five elements. Then different kinds of food, drink, and the objects of enjoyment. Chabya, chosha, lejha, peya. Four kinds of food. Some food we bite, we masticate. Some food we suck. Some food we lick. And peya, some food we drink. Money, water. So these four kinds of food and all these objects of enjoyment came from those five elements. Then he talked about the seven realms lower and seven realms higher. All these 14 realms came from these five gross elements. When you read these things, do you know what you are supposed to look? Look at your body. Nothing but five elements. If you do not take bath 3-4 days, your body will smell. If you do not give food to your body will be emaciated. If you do not drink, you will be very weak. You will not get any energy. How these human bodies, you know, depend on this food and drink and the five elements. This body, in the gross body, we find various kinds of disease. In subtle body, also there are various kinds of disease, lust, anger, jealousy. All these are disease of the subtle body. In causal body, we find ignorance, the seed of future suffering. All these things are in this in these five elements. Gross body merges into subtle body to the causal body, and causal body to the final cause. Sri Ramakrishna told his disciples the technique of meditation. Shandha Gayatri te loy hai, Gayatri Omkar loy hai, Omkar Parabrahma loy hai. When you repeat the mantra, morning and evening, when you repeat this mantra, that mantra merges, that sound merges into Om, and that Om merges, the sound merges into that cosmic silence of Brahman. These are very difficult sadhana, I tell you frankly. How this sound takes us to the infinite, you know, to the silence. It is very difficult to stop the sound. Well, Swami, if I do not talk, that is enough. No, 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 you do not know. Your mind is talking all the time. Chinta, constantly thought waves, that is also sound. We do not, the yogis can watch the sound for the reason they learn how to stop the mind, the thought waves. A big noise is going on there. External sound easy to stop, but internal sound very difficult to stop. We experience it the moment we sit for meditation. Mind roams around things, all sorts of things. So this portion, Sadananda Jogindra says, whatever see in this manifested universe are nothing but five elements. Next, he is going to dissolve those five elements. Etani shabdadi vishoshitani panchikritani bhutani sukshma shurira jatam chaitat sarvam etisham karanarupa apanchikrita bhutamatram bhavati. These five gross elements together with the five objects, such as sound, etc., and the subtle bodies, all these are reduced to their cause, the uncompounded elements, apanchikrita mahabhut, tanmatra. Shabda tanmatra. Only sound is there, nothing else. Gandha, smell is there. Rupa tanmatra. Jala tanmatra, up. And prithivi tanmatra. All these subtle elements are there only. Subtle elements, from subtle elements come the gross elements. Rupa, rasa, gandha, shabda, sparsha. Rupa means form, rasa means taste. Gandha means fragrance, shabda means sound, sparsha means touch. This from these five elements come the five gross elements. We discuss these things. एतानि सत्वादि गुणसहितानि अपञ्चीकृतानि उत्पत्ति व्युत्क्रमेण एतत् कारणभूत अज्ञानोपहित चैतन्यमात्रं भवति एतदज्ञानम् अज्ञानोपहित चैतन्यं च शब्दादिकम् एतद् आधारभूत अनुभूत चैतन्यरूपं तुरीयं ब्रह्ममात्रं भवति दि फाइव कंपाउंडेड एलिमेंट्स टुगेदर विथ दि टेंडेंसीज ऑफ सत्वा सॉरी दि फाइव अनकंपाउंडेड एलिमेंट्स together with the tendencies of sattva, rajas and tamas in the reverse order to that of creation are reduced to their cause, namely consciousness associated with ignorance. The ignorance and the consciousness associated with it, such as Ishvara, God, etc., are resolved into the transcendent Brahman, unassociated with ignorance, which is the substratum of them all. Try to visualize this way, then you will get a better understanding. Here is cotton. From cotton, you made thread, yarn. From that, next stage, you made cloth. Cotton, yarn, thread, and then came the cloth. So this cloth is nothing but cotton. So cloth is the manifested universe, grows, middle portion is the yarn, thread, that is the subtle, and then go one step back, that is cotton. So this cloth, again you bring back to the cotton. Cotton can go to the cloth, and cotton and the cloth can come back to the cotton. So now Sadananda is trying to transfer the cotton into the, cloth into the cotton. First he showed that how cotton has become cloth. Now he is showing us that how the cloth can be made cotton. Go to the causal state. Why? What is in his mind? Do you know what is in mind? That way he is trying to convince you the unreality of this world. How this thing is changing. Constantly changing, cause and effect. Here is a huge tree, redwood tree in the Muir forest, 300 feet tall. Huge, for thousands of years those trees are there. In the Sierra Club, if you go there, if you see those huge trees in the Muir forest in the other side of the bay. Anyhow, those trees evolved, and one day that tree will be reduced to earth again. It will be like clay. It may take thousands of years, doesn't matter. So these human bodies, you know, maybe it may stay 100 years, but it evolved, again it will be dissolve. He is telling us, this is the world, just evolution and involution. Constantly this world is changing. It is not absolutely real. Our relationship, friendship, all these things, just temporary. And we make this world hell through fight, through misunderstanding, so many things we do. This morning I was reading an incident that one man, he was angry with the justice system in this country. He shot the lawyer, his wife's lawyer, he shot his wife, and he was telling this is not right. He took this world very, very truly, you know, this world is real to him. For the reason he took this, I think, easily he could, if you would experience, my wife is not real, why should I kill her? And as a result, I will have to go to jail, I will be killed. Why should I kill this lawyer? He is angry against the justice system. He shot, I think, to the judge also. Well, these people are responsible for my family mishap. Just if you think this, I am losing my reality for that reason, he becomes upset, he becomes crazy. If we had this knowledge, this world is not real, we will never be attached to this world. When you go to for vacation to a hotel, we know this is not my home. You are not attached to that beautiful room in a hotel at all. Well, I pay just for a day or two, 1 week vacation. You don't feel that, you know, that closeness, affinity, that it is your own house. You don't feel that way. So try to understand this world is just like a Holiday Inn. You are here only for 100 years, just temporary. There you go in the, you know, Holiday Inn, you go only for a week vacation or 2 weeks vacation. Similarly, in your home, you know, in 205 South Skinker Boulevard, just short. It is a short stay, maybe 30 years, 40 years. That's it. We do not see this way, so we get very much attached. Our friends, our relatives, home, very real to us. One Vedanta teacher says, when you remove all the wools from the blanket, there is no blanket. If all particles of wool from the blanket, if you separate them, there is no blanket. So when all these elements are separated, there is no world. But Swami, what is the utility of this, what is the necessity of this kind of discussion? It is extremely important. Because until and unless you transcend this world and the body idea, you cannot experience the Atman. That is in his mind, Sadananda's mind. Transcend. Transcend the body consciousness. Transcend the body idea. So I am trying to show you what is this body, I am trying to show you what is this world. He is exposing the world and the body to us. It will be dissolved. This ignorance and the consciousness associated with each such as Ishvara are resolved into the transcendent Brahman, unassociated with ignorance, which is the substratum of them all. Adhyam adharopa apavadabhyam tattvam padartho shodhanamopi siddham bhavati. By this process of superimposition and de-superimposition, the precise significance of that and thou is clearly determined. These are the two words of the great Vedic dictum, Tattvamusi, thou art that. A real guru first trains his disciple before that person receives the mantra. So he is now initiate this disciple, that I made your ground ready, I try to explain to you your real nature, your body, your mind, your three types of body, three states of consciousness, duryo, and how you explain to you everything about the universe. I try to show you how these things have been evolved, and now I am trying to show you how this can be dissolved, and now I shall give you the mantra, so that you can experience your true nature. You are the Atman, you are Brahman. You are neither the body, nor the mind, nor the senses. You are not an American, not an Indian, not a man, not a woman, nothing of the sort. These things are all superimposition on the Atman. All of your ideas, all are superimpositions on the Atman. Tathahi. तथा ही अज्ञानादि समष्टि ही एतादुपहितं सर्वज्ञत्वादि विशिष्टं चैतन्यं एतद् अनुपहितं च एतत् त्रयं तप्तायो पिञ्जवात् एकत्वेन अवभासमानं तत्पाद वाच्यार्थो भवति। एतद् उपाधि उपहित आधारभूतं अनुपहित चैतन्यं तत्पद लक्षार्थो भवति। बाच्यार्थ लाक्षार्थ वर्ड मीनिंग और अपेरेंट मीनिंग एंड इंडिकेटिव मीनिंग प्राइमरी मीनिंग एंड इंडिकेटिव मीनिंग। बाच्यार्थ मीन्स लिटरल मीनिंग वर्ड मीनिंग। The word tat, tat means that. That means Brahman. With the thing which is remote, we say that. We do not say this, that. So it is remote to us, we are ignorant people. So Brahman, God is remote to us. So we are indicating that. What does it say? To explain collective ignorance and the rest consciousness associated with it and endowed with consciousness, omniscience, etc., as also the pure consciousness unassociated with any attribute, these three, when appearing as one and inseparable like a red hot iron ball, become the primary meaning of the word that. शोधन मंत्र शोधन गुरु गिव्स ए मंत्र बट समटाइम्स यू डोंट अंडरस्टैंड द मीनिंग व्हाट डज इट मीन गुरु गिव मंत्र आई एम रिपीटिंग द नेम ऑल द टाइम बट आई डू नॉट नो शोधन। Sri Ramakrishna mentioned that here is milk. You know there is butter in the milk. If you want to get the butter, you will have to churn the milk. Similarly, the sound, the mantra which God, which your guru gave to you, you practice sadhana chatushtaya. In the very beginning, Sadananda told us. You practice discrimination, non-attachment, self-control, and longing for liberation. Practicing these four disciplines, churning your mind, then you will understand the meaning of this mantra. Milk is in the cow's body, but it comes through the udder of the cow. Though it is all over the body, but it comes through the udder. Two avatar, guru, they come, this, you know, Brahman consciousness is manifest through the avatar. That Sri Ramakrishna mentioned. Manushai tini breshi prakash. Brahman, God manifests in human beings in a maximum way. Bachartha, primary meaning. Laksharta, implied meaning, and bhakta, suggested meaning. There are three kinds of meanings of a word. three things please try to understand. Here is collective ignorance, means agyan, maya, and all the products of maya, this universe and beings. That is first. Second, consciousness associated with maya. That is God. Third, pure consciousness, unassociated with these two. All these three, taptayava pindavat, bachartha bhavati, when these three are united, that is the primary meaning of the word tat. This universe, consciousness associated with universe or ignorance, whatever you say, and pure consciousness. These three, taptayo pindavat, tapto ayah pindavat, ayah means loha. When the iron ball becomes red hot iron, this redness, this heat, become one with that iron rod. Similarly, this Brahman, maya, and the name and form, all these things become one. That we say, that is the bachartha, primary meaning. What is the indicative meaning? Etad upadi upahito adharabhuto anupahitam chaitanyam tatpado lakshartha bhavati. The unassociated consciousness, which is the substratum of the limiting adjuncts and of Ishvara, which they limit, is the implied meaning of that. Brahman, which is the substratum of collective ignorance and of Ishvara, is the applied meaning of word that. We see Dorchester, 22-storage building. Huge building. We do not see its base. Perhaps below, perhaps it is a deep base. There are big columns. They took all precautions so that this house will not collapse if there is any earthquake. That portion is invisible. But this big portion is visible. Sadananda Yogindra says that Brahman, the substratum, is the pure consciousness. Over that consciousness, name and form created this multi-storage building. That consciousness in the bottom is real. And these things is there, perhaps after 100 years, 200 years, perhaps Dorchester will collapse. Perhaps there will be a new building there. Who knows? Each building has its own lifetime, you see. Consciousness is the base. Over that consciousness, this body-mind organism are functioning. If you hold the body-mind organism, you will die. But if you hold the consciousness, you will never die. If your identification with consciousness, you are immortal. If you think that you are the Atman, then you have no death. But if you connect yourself with body-mind, you will die. Chetananda has a name, has a form. It has a death. This body has a death. But the consciousness of Chetananda is undying, deathless, immortal. Just see, the whole thing is the identification. That is the implied meaning. Now, in the beginning, Sadananda is telling us from the cosmic standpoint, look, bachartha, lakshartha, primary meaning, implied meaning. Primary meaning of this universe and the beings and the consciousness associated with them and the pure consciousness. All these things indicate that Brahman. That Brahman is everything. Sarvam khalu idam Brahman is name, form, that also is the manifestation of the power of Brahman. Now look, here is pure consciousness unassociated with everything, that is the implied meaning of Brahman. Do you know what is in Sadananda's mind? Now he is coming to the individual standpoint. Look how he is trying to make as understand this mantra tattamoshi. Ajnanadi vyastihi etad upahito alpajyatvadi visishto chaitanyam etad anubhitam cha etatrayam taptayo pinjavat ikatena avavasamanam tampado bhachartha bhavati etad upadi upadhi upahito adharo bhutam anubhitam pratyaganandam turiyam chaitanyam tampado lakshartha bhavati. Sadananda says, you know, I told you about tat, Brahman. Now I shall tell you tvam. Tvam means in Sanskrit, tvam means you, thou. You, when I say you, do you know what I mean? Sadananda Yogindra says, individual ignorance, and your individual ignorance, and the rest means, meaning the individual subtle and the gross bodies, consciousness associated with it, and endowed with partial knowledge, etc., as also the pure consciousness, unassociated with any attribute, these three, when appearing as one and inseparable like a red-hot iron ball, become the primary meaning of the word Tao. Again, the unassociated transcendent consciousness, the inward bliss, which is the substratum of the limiting adjuncts and of the jiva, which they limit, is the implied meaning of the word Tao. Pure consciousness, which is the substratum of individual ignorance and of jiva, is the implied meaning of Tao. So, first he explained to us what is that. Now he is trying to explain to us what is Tao. Tao means this individual consciousness with individual subtle body, gross body, individual ignorance. All this sum total of all these individual things is the meaning of word, is the primary meaning of Tao. But the consciousness which holds this individual being at the bottom, which is all-pervading consciousness, that is the implied meaning of Tao. Let me tell you what is in his mind. He wants to remove the upadhi and connect these two consciousness. That is in his mind. This individual consciousness and here is cosmic consciousness. He wants to unite it. What is the barrier between these two things? This individuality, ego. Name and form, they are barriers. Ignorance, barrier. Ignorance creates name and form creates all these individualities, ego and all these things. So he wants to tell us this is cosmic consciousness, this is your individual consciousness. As consciousness, both are same, I want to unite you both and just forget all this rubbish stuff that is in his mind. That is the, for the reason we repeat the mantra. We want to unite with our source. The more we are trying to push the source away, the more we are away from the from God, we are miserable. Take this example. You have a fireplace in your house. First, your fireplace is in the basement and you are in upstairs. You have no heating arrangement in your house. How will you feel? You will be miserable. Your room, your upstairs room will be cold. Well, I have fireplace in my house. There are fireplaces in the basement. So that fire is meaningless to you. The more we away from that heat and light, that is God, the more miserable we are, the more gloomy, the more we live in darkness. This is the whole truth. Day and night we are denying God. Not to think of God means we are denying God. You know, in the peace mantra of the Samaveda we read, may I never deny Brahman, not Brahman me, I with him, he with me, may we abide always together. May there be revealed to me who am devoted to Brahman, the holy truth of the Upanishads. We are denying God all the time. For that reason, we are miserable. We are unhappy. Isha Upanishad says, Tatra ko moha ka shoka ekatta manupashyata. When you experience that oneness, where there is grief, where there is delusion, where there is hatred, where there is jealousy. I remember our teacher used to say, "Hey, do you know what is this world?" He says, "Chini balite mishano ache prithok kora shekho. Sand and sugar are together. Learn how to separate the sugar from the sand. There are a lot of juice in this world. Don't think this world is a miserable place. This world is all bad. It is Brahman manifested. You know, in one way, it is Brahman alone exists, Satchidananda. This world, if, you know, there is, you know, this, I look at the world, you know, just it is a beautiful place. If I am good, this world is good. If I am bad, this world is bad. It is I. Our Bush Stadium, which is a beautiful playground, a wonderful baseball stadium. If our team cannot play well, they should not blame the ground. That we do. That is our problem. Oh, this ground is not good. People blame San Francisco, that candlestick park, because too windy. Bay wind, you know, the people, the ball, the player cannot catch the ball, you know, it goes the other direction. But our, you know, our basement, our ground is fine, stadium is fine. Those who do not, you know, play well, they always blame someone else. They are weak people, always blaming others. He is not a good player, not good baseball player. After this tonight, next class we shall discuss the meaning of thou art thou art that. He is trying to explain this mantra well, so that we can practice it. If you have any questions, please ask.
When you were talking about sound, and you said silence is also sound.
Sound is also?
Silence. Good.
See, you know, sound comes from silence, and again goes back to silence.
What would you call silence? The sound, would that be vibration? From the thought?
Mm-hmm. It is one way, vibration of the thought. They imagine there are four stages of the sound. Para, Paishanti, Madhyama, Vaikhari. Para means the Supreme Brahman, Shabda Brahman, sound is Brahman. At that time, the sound is not manifested. It's a potential sound. In second stage, they call it Paishanti. Paishanti means the sound is there, but before it become a thought, behind the thought, the yogis perceive that stage. That is called Ishvara, God stage. At that time, the sound is in equilibrium. Sound is there. But that stage is potential. They hear a little bit manifested. That is called deep, that's like Sushupti, deep sleep. It is there. But it did not take any form. In Madhyama, when it comes to the third stage, in the mental state, at that time it becomes thought. And then manifested state, when we talk, when we express our thought. That is the way they discuss these four levels of sound.
Taught through silence, you know, the student came to them and they were silent.
How do they do that?
Yeah, is that a thought, a vibration that they teach, able to teach through silence?
Yeah, you know, there are some teachers, they have, what do they do? They can, you know, they are, for example, like Tuilanga Swami, silence. When you come to him, he can read your mind. And he can communicate through mind. You will not have to talk. You see Ramakrishna. When a person comes to him with some questions, he can read that person's mind, and perhaps he will talk to other people and you will get the answer. But you know, sometimes that is of course Sri Ramakrishna talk, but through silence also, if you want to get that kind of lessons from a teacher who is silent, you will have to silence yourself. If some kind of Zen teachers, they practice that way, you know, just maintain silence. And the mind communicates with mind. But that, as I say, sometimes silence can be a great lesson. Sometimes we understand according to our understanding. I asked this question and he looked at me and did not say a single word. It happened with that man who came, whose reminiscences we are reading now. He came to Holy Mother and told Holy Mother, I have terrible lost mother's disciple. What shall I do? Mother did not say a single word, only looked at him. He came to him and told the same thing, that, you know, I had this terrible problem. I told her and she did not say a single word. Then M said, what did she do? Well, she only looked at me. That's it. Sadananda shuke bhashe shama jodi phire chai. The Divine Mother, if she gives a glance, that's it. You don't need any instruction. Her grace, her glance will remove lust from your mind. Yes.
Swami, you said there were three meanings to a word. You gave the primary, the implied. What was the third
one? The other is a kami. That say lakshana. That, you know, now he's trying to say bachyartho, primary meaning, lakshartho, indicative meaning. This indicative meaning, then he will divide it again into three groups. That how this mantra can be understood. Samanadhikarinya, visheshana visheshabhava, and bhago lakshana. Again, that bhago lakshana will be subdivided into three groups. Jahat lakshana, ajahat lakshana, jahat ajahat lakshana. You will see how he will explain this mantra. Until and unless you understand, he won't let you go. He says this mantra is very important for you. I must go all the way to make you understand what I mean. Tattamasi, convert that, you are Brahma. It is these teachers, you know, they won't let you go until and unless he will make you convinced that it is the truth. Very, very interesting that, you know, how they subdivided. You understand now that he was saying taptayo pindavat, as iron ball becomes one with the fire and becomes red hot iron. Similarly, this whole world and the consciousness associated with the world and the pure consciousness, all these things three together become a red hot iron, one unit, pure, you know. And then there is also consciousness unassociated with it, that cosmic consciousness. He who is, as I said, he is trying to unite these two consciousness, individual consciousness as cosmic consciousness, this universe and all this body, and the life business. Just forget it. Forget all these things. He will make you, he will shoot your mind to that pure consciousness. That is your real nature.
And Swami, I know from the Vedanta standpoint that creation never really happened. That's just a thought for me. I don't live that way. Because I'm here separate from you talking. So even in this book we discuss the creation process. But we never really took on the subject of why God was created, which upsets me.
Not only it upsets you, it upsets millions of people. That question, why, cannot be answered. Swamiji said, but how can be answered? How this world can be removed?
That doesn't interest me.
Of course, it doesn't interest me either. That is, as you know, sitting in ignorance, you cannot explain what ignorance is. So as Swamiji said, you will have to transcend ignorance, then you will understand. This whole creation is really a show, puppet show, which is not real. With that why, the word you use, that is the correct word you used. Why? Why cannot be explained?